Five, four, three, two, one, zero, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. We're going to go back in time a little bit here to get things started. When 9/11 happened, I was working at CNN, technically in headline news, producing the sports reports. It was a time frame I'll never forget. You know, rumors were flying around. There was panic of like there was something aiming for CNN Center. I remember that. Panic roamed the halls. We were all confused and disillusioned. It was kind of like we thought we were living in this impenetrable fortress, you know, that the United States was this like, nobody can get in here. And then all of a sudden we realized, uh-oh, we are penetrable. You know, you felt very vulnerable. And I remember during that time frame, all of us sports folks would say, because, you know, you have a tendency to relate things to your own comfort zone. We'd relate it to sports. We'd say, imagine if this happened at the Big House on a college football Saturday, where there's 110,000 people in a confined space. Or what about the Super Bowl or the World Series with everybody watching? Now, 9/11 was tragic enough. I'm not minimizing it by any odd stretch. But you immediately, when something like this happens, you begin to consider your own vulnerabilities. Pre-9/11, I could walk into a game without bag checks or metal detectors and just stroll to my seat. I mean, the worst that my friends and I would smuggle in was, you know, Gatorade, maybe vodka, and French fries. But others could have done worse. Security was different. And now you fast forward to current times, and despite the diligence of so much more security at games, much more visible security at these events, there's still tragedies. Las Vegas was horrific. The Manchester bombing at the Ariana Grande concert was just stunning. So what protects sports events? I told you all early on that we're going to have entertaining podcasts, but we're also going to not going to shy away from real issues, things that need our attention. And I think this is one of those conversations. Today's guest on the podcast is security expert and author of the upcoming book, What's Your Plan? James DeMayo. James was named among Security Magazine's most influential people in security in 2017. He's the founder, president, and CEO of Unified Sports and Entertainment Security Consulting, based in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he helped open the Barclays Center in Brooklyn as a security supervisor. We're going to talk about how to stay safe at sports events and what technology related to security. But I'll also tell you, one of the most enlightening parts for me is the amount of jobs connected to security in the sports industry. If you're interested in facility or event management, you better listen in. If you're looking for a way to break into team operations, again, these are really important subjects. Security is an important part of that. If you're looking for entry-level work that has a high career ceiling, James and I talk a lot about that, and I never realized the breadth and depth of opportunities that are within security. It's not just burly people that are in the yellow jackets with security written on the back. There's a lot of brain power that goes into keeping people safe at sporting events and entertainment events. Just to drill that point home, when I search on workinsports.com for the keyword security, 402 jobs come up, including a manager of major events for the U.S. Tennis Association, which really drives my point home. If you want to work in events, you need to know about security, which makes this interview all the more important. So I will tell you, we're switching up the format a bit now that we have gone to two podcasts a week. We're going to do fan questions on Monday's podcast and then stick to the deep dive interview on Wednesday. In the future, I'm going to plan to probably start a Friday one, which will deal with another question because we have a lot of good questions coming in. But for now, we're just doing Monday and Wednesday. Monday, fan questions. Wednesday, expert interview. So if you have a question for Monday's podcast, email me, bclapp@workinsports.com. But now, let's jump into my interview with sports security expert and author of What's Your Plan, James DeMayo. James, let's jump right into this. We're going to talk a lot today about recent security events like what happened in the Las Vegas shooting. But first, I want to talk about jobs and sports security and this kind of angle and expertise that you have. With security issues at the forefront of society in many forms, there has to be a high demand for these types of jobs. And it's not just the people in the yellow jackets you see at festivals. There's a lot more that goes into it. If someone listening today wanted to be a part of the safety and security of the sports world, how can they become involved? What type of training would they need? And what kind of opportunities are out there?
Sure, Brian. Thank you for the opportunity to have a most timely discussion. Certainly agree with everything you're saying in terms of opportunities for people transitioning into the multi-billion dollar sports and entertainment juggernaut we know as sports
right.
and entertainment. So, you know, moving forward, obviously with the challenges that we're seeing safeguarding today's events, you know, certainly opportunities avail themselves of those interested in working in stadiums, whether it be billion-dollar buildings. For instance, I helped open the Barclays Center with AEG, or it could be a mid-sized venue. In Central Texas, I worked at the Cedar Park Center, which is now the HEB Center. But young people, you know, studying sport management, looking to graduate from college and trying to gain a foothold into the ever-competitive sports and entertainment industry, I feel passionate about event security, but certainly it's a great way to kind of transition and understand the operational side of working in a building, the security challenges, the brand protection side, and just being someone who's involved with seeing a project grow, whether, again, be it opening a building or just an established venue. The excitement is contagious, and the fan experience is really part and parcel to having highly trained event security people working within the space.
I think it's interesting. You used a term in there, brand protection, and that's interesting to me. I want you to dig into that a little bit more. So if I hear that, my first thought is these brands, these sports brands have to protect themselves on many levels. They want to protect their fans. They want to protect their entertainment dollars and their venues and their cybersecurity, and all of that comes into play, because anytime something goes wrong, it reflects poorly on them on multiple levels. But there's also the loss of life and danger, and there's so much that goes into that. So brand protection is kind of an interesting subset there, I would think.
I totally agree, and certainly you don't want to be that one organization who's cited for inadequate security. Examples
right.
being 2011 with the Brian Stowe case with the LA Dodgers, you know, how they learned their lessons. They were
right.
sued for several million dollars. Certainly, you know, moving forward, they kind of tweaked their security protocols and had an increased security, presence, at Dodger Stadium. Obviously, we have the World Series going on now. So you don't want to be known as that one organization that cut corners in terms of safeguarding your brand, because obviously, you know, the last thing that, or pretty much what keeps the venue ownership groups up at night is a security breach in their stadium, venue, and arena. So lessons learned is the prevailing theme in the industry, and you certainly want to adhere to your duty of care responsibilities, and that's all part and parcel to, you know, the fan experience, brand protection, protecting yourself from inherent liabilities in terms of lawsuits, but also just making sure that the fans have an amazing experience and they want to repeat that experience time and time again.
So if someone wanted to work in facilities or event management, security is a big part of that. I don't know if necessarily people put those two things together, but if you're going to manage an arena or you're going to be part of the operations team, that's something you need to know about. How does somebody become educated in the world of security, and even furthermore, what kind of opportunities are there for jobs in that kind of realm? What do you see as being the potential opportunities?
Well, I think the potential is unlimited in terms of all the challenges we're seeing, and certainly post Las Vegas. We thought obviously the advent of the Boston Marathon bombing was a real game changer
right.
for sports security, but certainly Las Vegas now, when we talk about these entertainment zones, we're not only talking about the confined space, the actual physical confines of a stadium, venue, arena, but we're talking about those exterior perimeters as well. So there's a lot that goes with the ebb and flow. So for young people, I think there's tremendous upside. There's opportunities to, you know, understand security. Certainly guest services is another aspect, another avenue for young people to work on their verbal communication skills, to work on the fan experience, to create that harmonious relationship with the well-paying fans on the ingress. So certainly opportunities are available for young people to kind of transition into what I feel, again, is a highly specialized niche in today's sports and entertainment industry.
Yeah, I would think so. And if you are involved in security, you really are touching almost every part of the organization too. You're getting exposed to so many different parts of the machine that you're probably able to see and understand a lot of the business inner workings of how an operation flows. So it's a nice starting point that can bridge itself off. I mean, you could stay in a security career for your entire career, as you have, or you could bridge off in a lot of different directions. It's an interesting training ground, I would think, for many different avenues as well. Is that accurate?
It's very accurate, and again, I think you make yourself, extremely valuable to the organization when you understand, the role of security. And I think mm-hmm. because of the recent challenges, security directors are always fighting for their 15 minutes of fame, right, during operational discussions. But in light of challenges and potential adverse brand, security directors are getting a closer seat to the head of the table. So right. I think their role is really being magnified in terms of, how important it is to protect the space. So again, it's a great understanding of the operational facets of working in a venue. It's certainly exciting. Again, my experience, opening the Barclays Center with Jay-Z and Beyonce was, just a tremendous experience for me. I worked all eight shows with AEG, so I was really right in the mix of, sports and entertainment, community, first time coming back to, Brooklyn since the Dodgers went out to L.A., so it was really a monumental milestone for Brooklyn, and we're seeing now that AEG and Barclays Centers is one of the higher revenue-producing venues in the country.
That's pretty amazing. So the Las Vegas shooting really opened so many of our eyes to the security challenges that large congregated groups present. Now, this was a music festival, but as you mentioned earlier, the Boston Marathon issue, there's nothing that says something like this couldn't happen at a college football game, a baseball game, inside a basketball arena. We'll get into some more specifics next, but on a more high-level assessment, how concerned are you about the safety of sporting events?
Well, again, not to be a fearmonger, but I'm very concerned because I think the rules have changed drastically. And, certainly who would have thought that we would have had an aerial assault, 32 floors up, confined space. You look back at kind of assessing, what went right and wrong. We look at Manchester, obviously the things that we need to improve upon. But, when we talk about these entertainment zones, we're not only talking about the venue, but we're also talking about, the hospitality and tourism industries. That kind of work and feed into, overseeing and safeguarding a particular event. So certainly the rules have changed, the game has changed. We look at active shooter, workplace violence, bomb threats, the threat of terrorism. Obviously in Las Vegas we had an aerial assault, which was certainly unprecedented, kind of a lone wolf scenario, which is extremely unpredictable in nature. So these are many, many challenges that really, keep us up at night, that we go back to the drawing board. We figure out ways to, increase the level of awareness without creating fear. And ultimately, one of my roles is to just try to raise the standard of professionalism for people that are entrusted with, scanning your tickets and safeguarding the patron while out at the event.
You wrote an article recently on LinkedIn on confined space challenges and security, and I read through it and found it very interesting. The confined spaces like you see at sports stadiums, for example, you call it duty of care. Can you explain the approach of security staffs in these confined spaces?
Well, again, a terrific question, and we look at, kind of the definition of confined space. We're talking about those densely populated areas, so when you look at, how quickly and expeditiously security screens fans on the ingress, if that's not done, in kind of a expeditious manner, you can create potential choke points where you have a lot of people entering in one particular area in the stadium. So that's something to be concerned about. We saw in Manchester, obviously on the exterior perimeter, there was a suicide bomber, who had inflicted, all mass casualties when patrons were leaving that venue. So we have to look at all the challenges that we're seeing, and the MO, obviously the legal threshold is the duty of care, which is something that venue owners are legally responsible for in terms of safeguarding. So it not only starts with the fans entering, but it's certainly on the egress on as fans are leaving and exiting into mass transportation hubs.
Right.
That we saw, when I worked at the Barclays Center, the Long Island Railroad, the MTA, those coordination of efforts between law enforcement and venue directors to get folks in safely and get them out safely. So the challenges continue. It's a terrific question. duty of care is the prevailing theme. I always say that, you know, unfortunately, nobody bats 1,000% in security, but if we do everything we can, based upon the information that we have available to us, and again, you know, I break it down in kind of a five-point scenario. We talk about responsible social media monitoring, knowing what's being posted, you know, on certain platforms. We talk about, again, effective communications between venue staff and law enforcement. We look at drones, errant drones, which are quite concerning, especially in open stadiums, along with severe weather. We talk about the integration of technology along with that proactive risk mitigation event staff training. And we look at data analytics and metrics to understand, you know, that our security staff are learning, you know, their roles, and we can measure that, and also their ability to be the best verbal communicators with the fans on the ingress.
It's amazing. It's such a technologically advanced field. I mean, I remember growing up and going to my first game, baseball game at Fenway Park. There were no metal detectors. There was no bag check. And you just basically handed in your ticket and you got in. And now those simple things are standing operating procedure. You see them at every game and every arena that you could possibly go to. I mean, you go to an amusement park and you're going to see exactly that too. Are there new technologies that help these security staff stay ahead of the proverbial bad guys? Or are we still in a kind of bag check world? Are there things out there that are protecting us we don't even know about?
There's a lot of good stuff that's out there. As I mentioned, responsible social media monitoring, real-time intelligence gathering. You know, certainly drones can be useful within the space. And, you know, the biometrics is something that's being discussed in the industry. So there's a lot of good training. There's a lot of good technology. You had mentioned earlier about cybersecurity, which is concerning within a confined space. And if you look at what happened in the Super Bowl a few years ago when the lights went out,
right?
At first we thought maybe it was some type of a terrorist attack. It turned out to be a facilities-related issue. But again, kudos to the NFL for keeping the players on the field and not creating a sense of panic. But a few years ago when LeBron James was playing with the Heat, the air conditioning went out in San Antonio. So that is, again, a duty of care responsibility. You may have patrons passing out because of the intense heat. So these are facilities-related issues that we need to look at time and time again. And we also have to be, you know, cognizant of the fact that cybersecurity, personal information, workplace violence, these are all different types of potential scenarios that can exist while safeguarding today's mega events.
It's really amazing, as you say it, that one thing can really lead to another. So the air conditioning goes out, and that can lead to massive problems that none of us would even think of. So much, I think, so many of us think of security issues as terrorist threat, you know, and that you're saying is that there's a certain catalyst that can happen that can affect things in many different ways. The lights go out, people panic, there's a stampede, or the air conditioning goes out, people are there's so many layers to it that you don't even think of. This is a really intense side of the business, I would think. I mean, just to make it into a question, actually, the social media monitoring that you mentioned, that's got to be painstakingly detail-oriented, and yet you're probably following false leads all the time, and it's got to be this continual process of vetting and understanding what's real and what's not. How do you weave through? I mean, I can't figure out social media myself. How do you weave through it from a security threat scenario?
Well, I think the key word is responsible. So if we're going to utilize that information, we have to do it responsibly. And you know, I was in law enforcement for 21 years, and everything is the real thing until proven otherwise. So every threat, you know, has to be looked into seriously. And again, that's what I mentioned earlier about, again, those coordination of efforts between the public and private sectors and those partnerships with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. It's amazing, you know, the challenges that continue. But I think if we communicate, speak the same language, and utilize the resources available to us, we place the organizations in a position of strength moving forward.
So you used the word earlier, and I agree with it. You don't want to be a fear monger. We don't want listeners to think sports events are somewhere to be afraid and that they should be, you know, afraid to go to the games. I mean, there are hundreds and thousands of games that happen every year, or events that happen every year, and there's nothing that goes bad there. You in the security world do your job perfectly. But what can we do, or what can we teach fans that they should do in order to help themselves stay safe at sports events? Are there certain things they can be doing just to take that little extra step?
Well, I think an educated fan is a safe fan. So if they take a look at the codes of conduct, the websites, on what to do, you know, it's always good to get out to the venue area, obviously earlier. It creates a lot less stress. knowing exactly what items are allowed to be brought into a venue. Obviously, with the NFL, they have the clear bag policy. That's designed, again, to keep the fans safe. So the fans can do a lot by educating themselves, seeing something, saying something. If something doesn't appear normal to them, they can certainly, you know, or certainly out of the ordinary, share that information. You know, technology is a great tool as well, Brian, in terms of, you know, sending an anonymous text, you know, to a command center if you're inside a venue. So we've seen that with the 49ers. They utilize iBeacon technology, excuse me, the Golden State Warriors with iBeacon technology. So, again, when we look at safeguarding these spaces, when we have the integration of technology along with the fans, you know, sharing that information to people that can actually take care of a situation, everybody's safe within that scenario.
Wait, can you explain that a little bit more? The Golden State Warriors, did you call it iBeacon technology? Can you explain what that is?
Well, basically, they have certain, you know, beacons that are set up, and their new venue is opening, I believe, next year. But they, you know, they have the ability to, you know, fans could, through Wi-Fi, you know, download certain apps, and then they can, you know, obviously, as quickly as you can upgrade your seats and find out how long the lines are at the restrooms, you can certainly send messages to security about a disgruntled fan in Section 101 or what have you, and staff can be dispatched to that area quickly to mitigate that risk.
I love that.
So again, it's harmonious relationship, and technology, when used responsibly, can really make a difference with safeguarding fans.
That's even better than, I remember I had really good seats for a Seattle Mariners game once back when I had a press pass, and you could get your drink order very easily from your seat. I mean, that was a pretty cool technology, but I actually think the security side of things and being able to report on bad things happening is probably better than me getting a drink at my seat. As a father, I find myself when I go to any event, I'm making mental notes of areas that I would take my kids should something bad start to happen. Am I just being paranoid, or is this kind of a smart idea that you should kind of have an idea of an exit route or where you should hide or anything along those lines if you're a fan at a large crowd?
I commend you for it. I wish more people would start to have that kind of mindset. Again, it's not fear-mongering, but it's kind of having a plan in place in the event something tragic were to happen. You know, kind of what your plan may be different than my plan for my family, but we've already had that discussion, right, Brian? We've talked about what we would do in the event there was some kind of a scenario. And we look back at, Las Vegas, Jason Aldean exited the stage. Members of his crew actually went underneath the stage and sheltered in place, which was very, very smart.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, met their demise because they were in that open space and really had nowhere to go to.
Right.
So we have to, you know, talk about, you know, evacuation drills, computer simulations, you know, fire drills, if you will, in the event something within a densely populated area were to happen. And we have to learn our lessons and just get the fans to buy into doing everything they can to keep themselves safe in the event the unthinkable were to occur.
What do you see as the big, we'll finish up with this, what do you think is the big challenge in security over the next 5 to 10 years? Is it the cybersecurity side of things, or are there other concerns that you have that are emerging or something to be afraid of?
Well, again, I don't want to use the word afraid because we're
okay, not. That's good. Yep.
You know, not a criticism, but we're trying to empower the fans to, you know, be aware of their surroundings, you know, so that situational awareness. I'm concerned about everything that we've talked about the last 25 minutes to a half hour. I think every one of those challenges is worth entertaining and learning and researching and practicing, you know, the best we can to keep fans safe. But certainly, you know, cybersecurity, personal information, the threat of terrorism continues, whether that be lone wolf, domestic or international. You know, again, when we look at Las Vegas, you have some of the smartest people you could imagine could not figure out the mindset of the shooter.
No.
So we have to look at, you know, individuals that are potentially disenfranchised and some that aren't, as we're seeing out of Las Vegas. But certainly if you know, the fans are aware of someone or a workplace violence situation where someone's really having a bad day, it's really their obligation as an employee, let's say, to let your supervisory staff know that maybe one of your fellow coworkers is having a bad day. You don't want to just think it's somebody else's responsibility. So I always talk about the importance of the fact that we don't work in silos, that everybody working in a venue has a duty of care, whether you're in marketing or operations or box office or conversion crew. We all need to share that information, you know, with people in authority that can, again, assess the situation and trying to protect everybody within the workplace. That's from kind of an inside-outside view, and certainly the fans, you know, coming from the outside in to be knowledgeable about what their role is and again, to share information. You know, again, it could be a disgruntled, intoxicated fan, you know, in Section 101, to let security or guest services know right away. So that's not something that does not escalate. And it keeps everybody safe and entertained and happy in that space.
It sounds to me like security is almost the offensive line of the sports world, in that, you know, when you do your job really well, nobody tends to notice. And then the one time you give up a sack, that's when things get noticed and things go the wrong way. I'm hoping from this conversation that all of our listeners start to really realize and respect just how much work goes into safeguarding and protecting everyone who comes to sports events, and the wonderful and fantastic job that you and other security experts around the world and nation do. So I can't thank you enough for this information. I think it's fascinating. I think it's something that people should know more about. And I also think it's a career opportunity that more people should investigate, because it has a broad scope, and you're going to be involved in a lot of different aspects of the industry, and you're going to see things in a different light than I think so many other people do as they relate to the business. And as you said, social media monitoring, brand protection, there's so many aspects here. So James DeMayo, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, Brian, thanks. And just for the fans and the students out there looking to get into the field, I highly recommend it. Certainly, you know, reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'd love the opportunity to connect with you. And again, I'm just one of many people, Brian, that are really, you know, dedicated to the cause of keeping fans safe, sound, and secure. And we're all in this together. And obviously, see something, say something, you know, run, hide, fight in a active shooter scenario. But certainly, you know, coming out of Las Vegas now, you know, our work continues on a daily basis. And, you know, again, I thank you for the opportunity to have this discussion. It's timely, but at the same time, it's important that we all work together and help one another, because, again, you know, the threat of terrorism is to make us fearful, and that's the last thing we want to do. We want to go to the events. We want to go to the festivals. You know, we want to go to the Super Bowl. We want to do the things that we do every day without it being a fear-based model. So, again, thank you for this wonderful opportunity, and I appreciate your support.
Thank you to James DeMayo. That was an extremely enlightening interview, something I learned a ton from. As you could probably tell, no lightning round today. It didn't feel like the right idea to start asking James what his favorite ballpark food was or anything like that. Executive decision on my part just didn't feel appropriate. I'm amazed by many parts of that interview. Most importantly is how important security is for many opportunities in sports. I like the way he framed it. You don't want to be the team who has a security breach and to be known for that. I mean, that's brand protection. You don't want to be identified with a tragedy. You want to be identified for the good entertainment and fun product you're putting out there on the field. I also really appreciated his passion for safety and security. It was clear he was no nonsense, which at times I'll admit, with my personality being somewhat juvenile, I will say it made things difficult in my approach to questioning. He was very serious, and he should be. It's a serious subject, and I'm not always great at being serious, so I try to laugh a lot, and that wasn't really the place, so I had to kind of tone myself down a little bit. Thanks again to James, and buy his book, What's Your Plan? I think anybody that goes to sports events or entertainment festivals or to the shopping mall can learn something from it. He gave me an advanced copy, and I found it really informational. Powerful read, folks, so look into that. We will link to it in the show notes on the blog page. Last bit of notes, we have two podcast interviews coming up that I'm very excited about. First, I'm interviewing Jesse Cole, who is the owner of the Savannah Bananas amateur baseball team in the Coastal Plain League Collegiate Summer Baseball League. Now, why this is cool? For one, I commented a couple weeks ago because one of you wrote in and gave me, well, it's a long story, but we connected some people. It was very exciting for me. We connected two different listeners who are helping each other now, and now both have military backgrounds. Well, one of them worked for the Savannah Bananas, and I made a comment about how the Savannah Bananas is a cool name and I want a hat. And then next thing I know, I'm going to be interviewing the owner of the team on the podcast. And the guy is all energy. He's got some really exciting ideas about marketing, culture, sports business, and entertainment. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this interview. And coming up after that, we also have Josh Rowich, who is the Senior Vice President of Content and Communications for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And this is right up my alley, content and communication. So I'm excited to talk to Josh about sports journalism, dealing with the media, team communications, very exciting stuff. Until then, don't wait for a sports career to come to you. Go and get it. Check out workinsports.com and start going after your dream job in sports. We'll talk to you guys next time.